Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Louis Black is coming to the Hippodrome Theater on October 10th. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster.com. A Live Nation show. Keep listening to 105.7 The Fan for your chance to win tickets.
Courtesy of Live Nation.
This is WJZ-FM, Catonsville. Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 The Fan. And always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
Another day brings another blowout for the Orioles. They wrapped up their series against the Yankees last night with a 12-1 loss, and that was a fitting end to a four-game stretch where Baltimore never led for even a half inning. Their negative 29 run differential in the series also ties a franchise low for a four-game set. The O's now find themselves 9 games back of New York in the AL East standings.
Didn't really give ourselves a chance to win, whether it be mistakes, miscues, whatever the case may be, but that's not us, you know. Like, this series just felt like we just couldn't stop the bleeding in the big inning, or we shot ourselves in the foot.
There's a shell-shocked Craig Albernaz after the defeat. The Birds will be right back at it tonight for the start of a 3-game series against Miami. Chris Bassett gets the start in the opener, first pitch at 6:40. This Fan Flash is sponsored by Window Nation. During Window Nation's Buy 4, Get 4 free sale, you could save big on new windows. Plus, you could get no money down and no payments or interest for 2 years. Sale ends soon. Visit WindowNation.com. From the Bob Bell Automotive Weather Center, plenty of sunshine with highs in the mid-80s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Turn up Tuesday, a little Motley Crue for you. Going back to Shot at the Devil, Beatles tune, Helter Skelter, which, by the way, is about a roller coaster. Paul McCartney wrote that one. Infamous for the Charles Manson movie. Helter Skelter, we know the man. We don't want to turn this into a morbid segment by any stretch of the imagination, but Charles Manson, the book was called Helter Skelter when they went off CeeLo Drive. Crazy, crazy time. Sad time, obviously. But, yeah, it's Motley Crue. Turn up Tuesday. And we crank it up to 12. Doesn't have to be metal. Be whatever you want. We've said it. Slim Whitman, Nolan's favorite band, Boyz II Men. I mean, we can crank it up. Boyz II Men's cool, by the way. I got no problem with them. No, Yay? Ye?
You had it right the first time.
Ye, yo? Yay.
No Slim Whitman. That's banned.
Now, we tried it. Full disclosure, we tried Slim Whitman, and it was like really, really horrible. And Ed Norris made it a suggestion. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. I was ready to jump through the plate glass window to get out of listening to that stuff. I mean, I'm cool with prog rock, like Yes, and... You know, Rush, I guess, falls into that category, even though they're more mainstream. But my point is, it doesn't have to be heavier in genre. You can be whatever you want. You want Dolly Parton cranked to 12? We got you covered, man. Right, Nolan?
We can make it work. We can make it work. I mean, something could be good music, but it doesn't have to be good, like, radio rejoin music.
No.
That's like, you know, it's its own category.
Yeah, that's you want coming out with AC/DC into the next segment. You know what got cranked up to 12 last night? The Yankees run production against the Orioles. 12-1 was the final score. Birds get swept. They've lost 5 in a row. Weston Wilson's pitched twice in less than 2 weeks. He's an infielder, by the way, if you're not familiar with the Orioles pitching staff. Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to White Plains. It's Mike. Mike, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hey, Haney, I think the Orioles are morbid. Like anybody morbid,
there you go. There's your word.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Haney. Hey, man, why would you bring in all season long they were saying that they were going, you know, that the Orioles will be competitive. This is the people we need. We think we have what we need. Why would you bring in a rookie head coach? I mean, why would you bring in a rookie head coach to basically, you know, if you're only a couple of players away, right, why don't you bring in somebody who could at least get the younger players to mix in with the older players instead of bringing in a rookie manager who has no skill at that? I mean, it doesn't seem like fundamentally they're sound. It doesn't seem like they do anything right. And he just sits back like, well, you know, it'll be good the next time. But it's not. And this worries me about this next five games. Let's say the Orioles do win the next five games. Then it only exacerbates the problems that they have, even though they're not playing any better than, any better than they are. But because they won these games, everybody's going to look at it like, okay, well, they're fine. They don't have any problems. And this is what we see in this season, Haney. We're seeing a team who can win 3 or 4 games in a row and then turn around and lose 3 or 4 games in a row. And the only thing we're looking at is the fact that they didn't play good in these 3 or 4 games. When they didn't play games in the 3 or 4 games, they won, but they still won these games. And this is the problem I'm having with the Orioles right now. And this is what worries me about this team.
Mike, I hear you, and I feel your pain. Albernaz, by the way, turned down jobs the previous year. And they did hire Brandon Hyde as a rookie manager, who was 2-time manager of the year by Sporting News. I mean, sometimes you go the retread route and it works out for you. Looks like it's doing well for Cincinnati with Terry Francona, for instance, but other times doesn't work out as well. Joe Maddon's Angels tenure was not a thing of beauty. Fundamentally flawed, they've kind of been that way for about a year and a half. They've been a below average team since the All-Star break of 2024. And injuries have a lot to do with it. Albernaz is a guy that learned from Stephen Vogt, who was a rookie manager, just 2 years removed as a player when he was with Oakland, among other places. And he has the Guardians as one of the most fundamentally sound teams in baseball. And Albernaz came up through the minor league ranks. I'm not questioning his baseball acumen. I think it's more about the players themselves. At some point in time, you got to look in the mirror. I mean, how do you know not to hit the cutoff, man? How can you not lay down a bunt? How do you have a guy on second, nobody out, not know to, you know, just get the guy to third base and then get a sack fly? I mean, the small ball stuff, and then the home runs eventually will come. I mean, the Orioles are kind of middle of the pack in home runs hit. Unfortunately, the pitching staff gives up a lot of home runs. And they're not the Yankees. They don't bash away. The Yankees, by the way, not only do they lead the majors in homers, they're like in the top five in stolen bases because they get a lot of base traffic. They force you to make mistakes. Where the Orioles, on the other hand, they're on their heels and they're waiting for something bad to happen. So I'm not putting the onus on Craig Albernaz at all. The dude took a foul ball off the suck hole. It was in the dugout the next day.
Now,
we'll see.
The reason
three of his starting pitchers are on the shelf, but it's two of his four projected infielders haven't played an inning yet.
Now, one of the reasons that you hire a rookie manager, if you're Elias, is you can control him. You know, you can make out, because a veteran guy, you know, if he comes in and says, well, I'm going to make out the lineup, you what? Yeah, that ain't happening. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons is because you can. He's going to buy into what you want to do.
Well, what about the Ravens hiring a rookie head coach?
They have. But, no, I'll guarantee you this. Eric has more say-so now hiring a rookie head coach than he did when Harbs was here.
Let's go to, we got time? Another call? Let's go to Rich in Whitehall. Rich, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. In my opinion, there's a flaw in the way that Elias builds teams. Let me give you a comparison. In 1954, the Orioles hired a guy by the name of Paul Richards. 2 years later, he became the general manager. And what he told everybody was this: I'm going to build our teams based on two things, defense and pitching. Now, unfortunately for Richards, he didn't stick around long enough to get rid of him because they were winning a lot. But that philosophy ran with the Orioles for decades. And here's what it brought to the Orioles. This can be hard to believe for guys who are like 45 and younger. But from 1966 through 1984, a period of 19 years, the Orioles had the best winning percentage in baseball. Also, from 1960 until Elias took over, The Orioles had 19 players to win Gold Gloves for a total of 71 Gold Gloves. Now, this would be Elias's ninth year after completion of this year. In that time, the Orioles have had one player and one Gold Glove. You guys know who won the Gold Glove?
Ramon Urias.
That's it. That's your Gold Glove guys. There'd be no Gold Glove guys on this year, right? So they're fundamentally flawed, in my opinion.
Well, hey, thanks for the call, Rich, and I appreciate it. And Paul Richards is a guy that went to the White Sox. He bounced around Major League Baseball, considered to be one of the great teachers of the game. Like, they had a longer stretch than that after the late 90s with Messina and all these guys. Palmeiro, Alomar were winning Gold Gloves. I think they won over a decade without a Gold Glove winner until Manny and Adam Jones and that crew started winning them. So I wouldn't put that onus directly on Mike Elias. And Mountcastle's been a two-time finalist. Kowser was a finalist for the Gold Glove just a couple of years ago. So, I mean, it is what it is. Cedric Mullins, who I thought was always a plus defender, didn't fit the defensive metrics. We were talking yesterday with Matt Wyrick. Gunnar Henderson makes spectacular plays, but the nerd stats say that he's not good going to his glove side to make plays. So, I mean, it's a different ball game, no pun intended. The lack of fundamentals, do we put it solely on Elias? Well, it's kind of his baby, and he's been here for a minute, but why they're not winning Gold Gloves, I wouldn't say it's Mike Elias's fault by any stretch of the imagination. We'll come back. It's the Whip Around. Talk about what happened in the world of sports last night. NBA playoffs. The Knicks. I mean, the Knicks are doing the teams in the last three games what the Yankees did to the Orioles over the last four, and the Stanley Cup playoffs. Overtime fun, unless you're a Flyers fan.
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
The weekend in the Bronx didn't go as expected, but what did Mike Fornick think about the O's against the Yankees, and how can they get better defensively? Also, Big Ben McDonald from Masson joins us, and what's he think about the starting pitching? He'll tell us.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan. You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast. Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport, every game, everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Maryland.
Time of the Whip Around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ravens news. We'll get more in-depth into the other birds of Baltimore here coming up top of the hour. News from the Nest. But Skylar Thompson signed. Fifth quarterback now. Was a seventh-round draft pick back in 2022. By the Dolphins out of Kansas State, was with the Steelers last year, and signs here with the Ravens.
More competition. You know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, are any of those three guys, they're vying for the practice squad quarterback. You know, they're going to be the third quarterback, and they'll keep two. And they'll need a guy on the practice squad to run scout team practices.
Yeah, Diego Pavia, Fagnoni from UConn, and now Skylar Thompson coming in to be part of the equation. It's Lamar Jackson, it's Tyler Huntley, and insert name here.
I'm guessing the guy that they would want, Bob, is the guy that they could develop. Who the quarterback coach, you know, picks to develop. I mean, T. Martin, like the guys that he always wanted to pick was like, Jesus, you know, what are you looking at? And T. Martin's back at LSU, I think it was, quarterback coaching, I think.
Yeah. T. Martin, you know, was a quarterback himself, won a national championship with the University of Tennessee, and our boy Phil Fulmer there.
Yep.
And then T. Martin's here in Baltimore, just to clean that up. T. Martin is LSU, offensive analyst.
Okay.
He's an offensive analyst, is T. Martin. All right. NBA playoffs. Last night. We'll talk more about this. Walt Williams coming up here in about 2 hours or so. Knicks last night taking on Philadelphia. And this was a Puffy Pantser, 137-98. If you're new to the show, Puffy Pants, break out the puffy pants. It's Hammer Time, which I've been saying for 25 years. Hammer Time, I saw him doing a TV commercial, too. Like, he's working on a construction site.
Yeah,
in his lunchbox, don't touch this and all that stuff. So, anyway, so it's puffy pants, 137.98. Jalen Brunson at 35. OG Anunoby, he had 18, and a couple other guys had 17. Third straight game that the Knicks have won a postseason game by 25 points or more. They were up by 40 in this game. Remember, against Atlanta. In Atlanta, the clincher there by 60. So they're dominating. Just one game. That's game one of the series, but on an impressive roll, to say the least. Game two is coming up tomorrow night. Paul George had 17 for the Sixers, who stunned the Celtics on Saturday. So the Knicks, they're up in that one early, and it was Minnesota, 104-102 over San Antonio. Julius Randle had 21 and 10. Ant-Man coming back, coming off the bench, by the way. He had 18. Champagny had a chance. Champagny had a chance to win it at the buzzer for the Spurs, but he missed the three. Hit the front of the rim. Victor Wembanyama, 11 points, 15 boards, 12 blocks. So the triple-double, the unconventional way. But still, T-Wolves steal game one on the road at the Spurs. Game two of that one is coming up on Wednesday. Tonight, Cleveland's at Detroit in the East, and the Lakers are at the defending champion Thunder. That one's coming up later on tonight, as OKC is looking to win back-to-back titles here, and the Lakers looking to keep this run going. A lot of people had them losing to Houston in the first round of the playoffs, but they handled their business there and won handily in the clinching game in game six. Stanley Cup playoffs, no. You had Vegas handling their business against Anaheim 3-1, so they lead that series one game to none. And in the Eastern Conference, Carolina taking on the Flyers, and you got extra hockey, at least for a little while.
Walker scoops it up, speeding through center. Walker in over the line, got it for Hall. Hall, strong move coming in toward the net. They score!
Yeah, it was a
ESPN on the call.
It was a interesting game because the Flyers scored two right off the bat. They were up 2-0. I think it was the first time Carolina's been behind in all their playoff games. You know, and second period was 0-0, and then Carolina tied it late, like with 5 minutes to go, to send it to overtime. And then Taylor Hall, as we just heard, he scored like a minute something to go. Thing I didn't like about this playoff game, Bob, was which was so different than most playoff games. Usually the referees kind of let them play. 15 penalties. 15. It was like, come on. You know, I mean, come on, refs. This is playoff hot. Let them play. So Flyers, Hurricanes. Hurricanes are up 2-0 now. And then they're going to play Thursday night. That will shift back to Philly. And then tomorrow night we got the Wild and Avalanche, which was a 9-6 game last time. Which I'm sure this next game is going to definitely be probably more of a low-scoring game. And then we'll get Wednesday night, the Canadiens and Sabres will get started in Buffalo with their first game. And then the Ducks, Golden Knights will be game two Wednesday night. And then Thursday night, Carolina is at Philly. They had a lot of issues, Bob, with the Spectrum or the Philly Stadium because the basketball team plays in the same place as the hockey team.
At Wells Fargo, I think.
Yeah.
And the Spectrum's been leveled. Nice place, though.
Yeah, and they have like a Bruce Springsteen concert or something
too.
God. You know, so there was a lot of stuff going on that they had to kind of move around to get the hockey and the basketball.
It's been 88-80-105-7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. This day in Orioles history. Today's May the 5th. Cinco de Mayo!
Yep.
Go get a margarita, man. Nolan, you going out getting some margarita and some queso and all the fun stuff there?
Maybe pass on the margarita, but maybe scoop up some Mexican food. A nice burrito would go a long way here.
Yes. I'll guarantee you, Nolan, they're all going to be packed today. All the Mexican restaurants will be packed. I like the frozen margaritas, Bob.
That's what I go with.
Yeah.
Strawberry.
Me too. No steak, salt or sugar or whatever.
I just want the booze. I don't need all the accompaniments. Steak fajitas. It's my go-to.
I like the burrito.
Or taquitos. I like taquitos. Nolan, what's your go-to Mexican problem?
I'm a quesadilla guy.
All right.
Make a meal. You know what? There's the answer. Make them at home tonight. Don't have to worry about a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. We solve issues here on Benny and Haney.
That's right. And we do it in real time, as a matter of fact. But it is Cinco de Mayo, this day in Orioles history, 2021 in Seattle. John Means throws a no-hitter. And wasn't he like a pass ball away from, or drop third strike from a perfect game? 6-0, the Orioles beat the Mariners. Pat Valaika. Remember the glory days of Pat Valaika? And Trey Mancini, now toiling in the minors with the Angels. Brady Anderson, of course, the hitting coach for L.A. But 6-0, John Means throws the no-hitter. John Means now in the Royals system, not playing this year because he blew his Achilles out on the day he was supposed to sign his contract. But John Means, that's a guy that's been beset by bad luck. But when he's healthy, he's effective. And when he learned that changeup, man, because he only threw... He did a weight training thing, because I remember we had him on the show. He sit 92, 93, but he did some off-season stuff in Midwest, where he's from. I think it's Kansas, as a matter of fact. And he was pumping like 95, which in this day and age isn't, you know, in 1982, 95, you're one of the hardest throwers in baseball. But he had that changeup. And once he mastered that changeup, that fastball looked like he was coming in at 100. 5 miles an hour, but he's had two Tommy Johns. Then he had the Achilles. But John Means, on this day 5 years ago, no hitter. First since Jim Palmer. One guy. They had the combined in 91. But John Means, no hitter against Seattle. This day in Orioles history, too. The good old days, Nolan, of 2023. In Atlanta, Friday night. I remember talking about this game before it happened. BBT, Dean Kramer. Kramer don't pitch well. They're going to send his ass to the minors. Well, he pitched well. And the Orioles on national TV beat the Braves 9-4. Anthony Santander hit two home runs, including a grand slam. Cedric Mullins went deep as Kramer beat Max Fried. You knew that? 9-4 was the final score. And then a year later to the day in Cincinnati, Jordan Westberg shut down. Ryan McKenna. Tony Taters went deep, three homers. Dean Kramer threw a one-hitter for six innings, got the win. Orioles win that one, 11-1. When the Orioles beat Atlanta that night 3 years ago, their record was 22-10. When they beat Cincinnati 2 years ago on this day, they were 23-11. The Orioles right now sit at 15-20. When we come back, we'll talk Orioles baseball and more with Gabe Lax from USA Today. Then a funhouse trip, quick draw, before we get to the top of the hour.
If you missed today's Big Bad Morning Show, have segments, hours, or full show delivered daily to your phone. Subscribe to the podcast and listen anytime on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. The Big Bad Morning Show, live on the Fan's YouTube channel, tomorrow 6 till 10, 105.7 The Fan.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Bad Morning Show, Vinny and Haney, Inside Access, live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
When you lose a game 12-1, it's hard to point to one singular moment as the reason why. Last night, the O's were desperate for a win in their series finale against the Yankees, but found themselves playing from behind right out the gate when Aaron Judge launched a two-run homer in the first inning. The problem is that pitch should have never been thrown. Judge appeared to strike out looking earlier in the at-bat, but the umpire called it a ball, and Adley Rutschman did not request a challenge. Here's Craig Albernaz on that moment and things getting away from his team early.
I've talked about this before. Like, we want our catchers to be more aggressive, challenging. And we trust our catchers and him and Sam with their strike zone awareness and judgment. Looking at it, yeah, it was a strike. And, yeah, we probably should have challenged that for sure. And Shane makes his pitch, and he should be rewarded for it.
There's no off day for the O's to regroup. They'll be back in action tonight for the start of a three-game series against the Marlins. Chris Bassitt versus Sandy Alcantara is your pitching matchup, with things scheduled to get underway at 6:40. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Play Home Run Riches from the Maryland Lottery. You could win instantly or win cash for Orioles home runs as a contestant of the game. Please play responsibly. From the Bob Bell Automotive Weather Center, plenty of sunshine with highs in the mid-80s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Turn it up Tuesday, crack it at the 12, send your song request, pause for text line at 410-583-1057. Nolan's waiting for you. Pat Benatar, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, quick draw, Orioles and Marlins, as you heard during the update, coming up tonight, 6:40. We'll get into that later in the show when we get to the AL East report. But let's talk about what's happening throughout Major League Baseball, USA Today, Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show our buddy Gabe Lax. Gabe, first of all, good morning. How are you feeling?
Oh, okay. We're almost a quarter of the way through this thing. So, things are getting interesting, to say the least.
Well, they're getting really crappy here in Baltimore, as you would imagine. 15-20 on the year. Tons of injuries. Westberg's got shut down yesterday from his throwing program. Jackson will start. Holiday will start his rehab maybe this weekend for the Chesapeake Bay Sox. I mean, it's been kind of a debacle as of late. As you watch this team, Gabe, throughout the first 35 games, if there's one malfunction, what is it? Or is it just so flawed there's too many to pick right now?
Yeah, the whole machine is kind of malfunctioning. It's tricky because like the pitching has not been where it wants to be, but I think it may get there, and we've already seen that a bit with Chris Bassitt looking a little more like himself. Kyle Bradish's walk rate is definitely pretty disconcerting. He's definitely got to clean that up, get deeper into games, and obviously getting some guys healthy. Who would have thought you'd miss Dean Kramer this much? But he'd look pretty good at the back of that rotation right now, and especially with Trevor Rogers both on the IL and struggling before then. But I think the fundamental flaw is honestly with just the lineup or the hitters. It's been a few years now with this core, and you're kind of wondering what's happening, especially with Adley Rutschman's resurgence. It's like, oh, what's wrong with Adley? Is he banged up? He's a catcher. Is he regressing? Really nice to see him bounce back, but you look at a lineup that is seventh in the major leagues in strikeouts, but they're only 12th in home runs and 17th in OPS. So what that tells me is a team that swings and misses too much but does not get the payoff from that kind of approach, as opposed to a team like the Yankees that leads the major leagues with 57 home runs and more than justifies the punch outs, which they actually don't punch out a ton either. They're 11th, kind of middle of the pack there. So it's I don't know if it's an indictment on, the organizational approach, the hitting coaches, the personnel, but you kind of need to find a way to get the ball and play hard. Ironically, they got the ball in play the last three games in New York. They just hit into six double plays, so it's kind of a nightmare right now for the lineup. And I'm not sure what the way is out of it, but they're still good hitters. It's just, it's not happening right now.
We'll smooch New York's rear ends later in the summer here, Gabe, I'm sure, multiple times. But what about Tampa? They won four in a row. They won 9 of 10. They're only a game and a half out of first place. They just keep on churning out these W's here. What makes them such a fascinating team and probably a fun team to watch?
Right. Well, and this is what's interesting. Like, for all the, hand-wringing, I'm sure that's going on with a four-game sweep in the Bronx. Okay, the Orioles aren't as good as the Yankees. That might have been surmised before the year. But, yeah, this is the team you kind of have to worry about, the Tampas and the Torontos, and the Clevelands, to name another division. But, it's all really starting to come together very nicely for them. When you look at, what Chandler Simpson is able to do, adding instant offense. So with the Caminero Aranda 2-3, you know, in the lineup. That's just a highly effective, you know, fun, active, contact-oriented, you know, kind of setup there in the lineup. And then you look at the, you know, the emergence of guys like Ballade and, you know, Cedric down there catching the ball. You know, you suddenly he's not counted on to do too much offensively. He just got to go play great defense. And then, of course, you know, you got the pitching. Shane McClanahan is back. Man, getting him back from Tommy John and then a triceps injury, kind of like watching, you know, watching your four-year-old ride a bike for the first time. Like, oh man, is he going to get to opening day healthy? Well, he got to opening day. He's pitching well, you know. And again, a couple of great reclamation projects. Maybe not reclamation, but just repurposed. Steven Matz and Nick Martinez, just at the back end of the rotation, guys that do not raise an eyebrow when they sign in late January or December. Nick Martinez, classic swing guy, has got a 1.71 ERA and in seven starts. And so that's, you know, that Rays pitching magic is still there, even though it's maybe a little overhyped and maybe had a couple down years, but, you know, they definitely know what they're doing down there on the pitching end of things. So it's kind of more of the same, and they've kind of reloaded after 2 years of just sort of wandering the wilderness. Now they're back with some old faces and some new ones.
Hey, Gabe, with Skubal going to have surgery on his elbow chips, what does that do for Detroit?
Yeah, man, you absolutely hate to see that from just a baseball standpoint, everything else. I mean, it's fascinating because, you know, will they get into a position where they, you know, may have to trade him if they fall out of the race? Is he even worth trading if he hasn't come back strongly from the IL then? You know, that's all just so many great unknowns right now. But I think they can survive this. You know, I think it's going to take a lot of magic from A.J. Hinch and his pitching chaos theory. You know, it's it keeps running guys out there, openers, all that kind of stuff. It worked on Sunday. It didn't work last night. Backfired in the seventh inning against the Red Sox. But this is why you signed Framber Valdez to be that rock in the rotation. You know, they didn't count on him being a number one, but they certainly counted on him probably being a number one after Skubal leaves. Now he's that guy, but he's doing exactly what you know what you want him to do. He's pitched into the sixth inning or beyond, and I think five of the seven starts, 3.35 ERA. So, you know, that is still there. What they need is Jack Flaherty to stop walking guys. What they need is Cater Montero to stick in the rotation as opposed to being the occasional, you know, trustworthy number six starter. And then, again, the bullpen as a whole, and that's not just the 6 to 10 guys down there at one time, but the whole organization. You know, they need to fill in those gaps the way they did in 2024 when they kind of stepped on the scene with these bullpen games and this pitching chaos. So all is not lost because they play in the AL Central, and you know it's really not a bad team in there. But you know, nobody's clearly running away with it. Everybody's lurking right around 500. So they're both you know, tied for first, 18-18 with the Guardians. So yeah, I don't necessarily think it's make your best offers on August 1st for Tarek Skubal, because it may not come to that for the Tigers. But fascinating to watch over the next 2 months of them, you know, trying to make do without him, and Skubal on the comeback trail and how healthy he is when he comes back.
Gabe Lax, USA Today, talking baseball here on The Fan. Gabe, as always, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Turn Up Tuesday, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it, fellas. Thanks so much.
Here's Gabe Lax, everybody. Vinny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. We'll talk to Nolan McGraw when we come back. Got news from the Nest coming up, top of the hour. Buy or sell, 12:15, Kevin Allstreicher, USA Today. The Ravens wire, get his thoughts on rookie camp that is now completed. Got OTAs coming up in a little more than 2 weeks.
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
The weekend in the Bronx didn't go as expected, but what did Mike Fornick think about the O's against the Yankees, and how can they get better defensively? Also, Big Ben McDonald from Masson joins us, and what's he think about the starting pitching? He'll tell us.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
If I'm the Dallas Cowboys or the Buffalo Bills, I'm on the phone with the Indianapolis Colts to trade for the number 4 overall pick in the 2023 draft, quarterback Anthony Richardson. Buffalo's backup quarterback is Kyle Allen. Dallas's backup quarterback is Sam Howell. For two teams that harbor legitimate Super Bowl aspirations this year, that's not good enough. Anthony Richardson, a worthy roll of the dice for either of those teams. I'm Nick Costos.
Vinny and Haney Show, sponsored by Town Appliance. Your next home upgrade starts at Town Appliance.
News for the NASCAR up top of the hour. I'm going to go back to one winning drive this past weekend. Here from Jesse Minter, some of the Ravens rookies who are on hand. We got a microphone in front of them. Get their thoughts on early life in the NFL. Schedule release coming up soon. OTAs coming up in less than 3 weeks. A little more than two, actually. So stick around for all of that fun stuff. Buy or sell. Let's count the Turn It Up Tuesday money, hopefully at 12:15. Then we'll talk Ravens with Kevin Ostreicher from USA Today. Get his thoughts on the Ravens roster, the way it looks right now, post-draft, and before the next wave of free agency and trades, which will happen June 1st, for instance. A.J. Brown probably moving from Philadelphia to the New England Patriots. And Skylar Thompson.
I read for a first-round pick, New England was going to give Philly.
Orioles get their pants pulled down for 4 days in New York. It was not. They had pimples on their butt. It's like they pulled their pants down and they had pimples on their hiney. And then they got spanked on top of it, Nolan.
It wasn't embarrassing enough. Not the pimples.
Exactly.
My God.
Exactly. It was an ugly look.
Just beat me up and be done with
the Bronx. And then at the end, it was like, no mas. They're just like, just open the gate to the bullpen and they just let them run out of the stadium to their bus and get out of there. It was a brutal series. Oh, by the way, Nolan, how are you feeling today on this Turn It Up Tuesday?
Well, other than that, I'm all right.
Yeah.
You know, that's all good with me. Right. You know, the other depressing part of last night is when you look at that Yankees lineup, you know, Ben Rice isn't even in there.
Yeah.
And he's, at this point, seems like he's good for a home run a game, so God knows what the score would have been if he was playing. But just in general, you know, this Yankees lineup, man, like, we all know what Aaron Judge does. He's not sneaking up on anybody. He does what he does. But outside of him, I feel like, and even their own fan base would say, where's the other production coming from? And maybe like every once in a while, you like last year, Trent Grisham was great. But the fans didn't even want him back. I thought there's no way they would bring him back. And then he takes the qualifying offer and he's kind of stinking it up. But he was great last night. You know, Bellinger repeating what he did last year. Jazz is still kicking around. So, I don't know. They just seem to find a way. But at the very least, their pitching is elite. And even if they weren't bashing like they did against the Orioles in the series, they're probably still looking at a similar record just because they've been that deadly as a staff.
Yeah, and you mentioned Rice. He's like an early MVP-level guy. It's him and Judge and Valdez, or Alvarez, rather, in Houston early on. But Caballero's been a nice find for them at shortstop, both offensively and defensively, to the point where Anthony Volpe finished his rehab and they sent him back to the minor leagues. And Bellinger's starting to heat up for sure, but that pitching's next level. And they didn't even need their closer over four games against Baltimore. And one of the frustrating things, too, as we said, I mean, Fried and even Schlittler last night were like, kind of, Fried especially, Sunday, come get me. And I mean, he's blowing on his hand, he's rubbing his fingers, and Schlittler was struggling with his command. And I mean, even Moo Man worked him for a couple of walks, you know what I mean, which is unheard of. So they had their two best pitchers not even on top of their game and couldn't do anything with them.
Right. Yeah, to have two on with no outs in two separate occasions and come up completely empty-handed, I mean, that's the Orioles right now. That's their MO. And when it happened the first time and it was Adley, right, that had the double play, I was like, you know, you kind of groan. And then when you get in that situation again and it's Blaze at the plate, yeah. I know we had a caller that raised the same issue. It was like, man, that has just got to be a bunt 10 times out of 10. Has to be.
100%.
I mean, like, and there wasn't even an attempt, you know, which leads me again, the mental, like the checked out of all this. Like, the where is Albernaz? Is that a call from the dugout down to the third base? Hey, give him the signal. We're bunting here. There's no question about it. Is Blaze going rogue? Is he deciding what to do on his own? I mean, there's just whoever's decision it is, it doesn't matter. You have to bunt there.
Yeah, and look, I know you want the big inning and you don't want to give outs away, but it's not like Blaze Alexander's and Nomar Garcia power or Derek Jeter.
Right, it's the night, and you're turning it back over for the guys that can drive.
So you got second and third, one out. If he executes the bunt properly, which is another story altogether, and then Gunner comes up where, you know, sack fly kind of gets you on the board instead, they're scuffling away. And look, Addy did hit into double play, but he singled on a sharp first at bat, and he hit one to the warning track where Grisham made a nice running catch. So he's still hitting the ball with a little bit of authority there, but frustrating. What was the one word a caller brought up to watch? Scary, or use it a horror film sort of a word to describe them. They're just bad. Bad is probably the best word to use. Inconsistent, forget about that. The only thing that's been consistent is their poor play since the second game of that doubleheader against the Houston Astros. Now you go to Miami, and the Marlins aren't exactly world beaters. They're below 500. Everyone in that division in the East outside of the Braves is. But they got Alcantara on the hill tonight. Was he the 2022 version where he won the Cy Young? No.
Well,
but he's better than he was last year.
He's one bad start away from being in that Cy Young conversation.
Yeah, so he's another dude. But Bassett's given them, you know, some level of hope. But it's just the inconsistencies with the offense that kind of drive you nutty here.
Right. And you know, where's the hope that it's going to turn around? You know, I mean, we've seen them break out, and the Orioles have a big game of their own. But, like, to predict it, to see it coming, I can't go that far.
Yeah, if I was predicting anything, it would be defeat.
Yeah.
If I was going to make any sort of Oriole prediction, it would be they're probably going to be up against it. We'll talk more about that in the 12 o'clock hour. But when we come back, we're going to shift gears, talk some Ravens. News from the Nats, who, by the way, hired a rookie head coach. And then we got buy or sell. Kevin Allstriker, he's no rookie. He's from USA Today, the Ravens wire. Get his thoughts on the team, the way they're constituted right now. A little more than 2 weeks away from OTAs. 2026 Ravens, one of the most, if not the most disappointing team of football last year, missing the playoff, finishing below 500, which cost John Harbaugh his job. How do they get it back? Still one of the betting favorites, however, to make a run at the Super Bowl.
The teams you grew up with.
Ravens are world champions.
Are the ones you still love today. 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, everybody, it's Bob Haney here. Are you seeing the prices at grocery stores lately? It feels like the numbers just keep going up. But listen, I don't sweat it because I use Upside. With the Upside app, I get cash back whenever I shop at giant locations. And you can, too. It's easy. Simply download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and start earning cash for buying the groceries you're already buying. And if you thought it couldn't get any better, my limited time promo code CHARM15 gets you an extra $10 bonus on your first purchase. You know what's wild? A family of four is spending $1,200 a month on groceries right now. I saw that number and thought there's got to be a smarter way to do this, and I found it. It's called Upside. Don't wait. Download the free Upside app now and use my promo code CHARM15 to redeem your $10 bonus at any giant location. That's promo code CHARM15. Join the real people earning money just for buying groceries. Plus, you can cash out at any time to your bank account or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. What are you waiting for? Download the free Upside app now using my limited time promo code CHARM15 for a $10 bonus on your first purchase at any giant location. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mysteries Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.